everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I'm very excited because we just had our Easter service, and it was a great weekend to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But we also have some awesome guests, and I think this is going to be a really fun episode because, you know, we've been prepping for a little bit, and it's already been a lot of fun, and so I'm just really looking forward to this episode. So welcome to the show, Richard and Juliana Alberon. Welcome.
And thanks for having us.
Hello.
I think this is going to be really fun. And we are, you know, Richard has been saying that Julie is his mini-me. So I think it's going to come out.
Yeah, I am. If you hear him make any stupid jokes, just know, like, I make the exact same one.
All right. Well, like I said, we are just coming off of our Easter and Good Friday services. So I think that's a great place for us to start. How was your guys' first Good Friday and Easter at Catalyst?
Well, for me, Good Friday was really neat because just the whole setup was, you know, was different. We never experienced anything like that before, mm-hmm. you know, being able to look at one another, and then, you know, the whole focus was, you know, looking at Christ, mm-hmm. you know, and then just the whole setup was nice though. You know, like the bread was cut up nice and neat. And then it was like you went to go get your bread, you know, and then go dip it, you know, and then you go back to your seat and you wait, you know. But it was just like the whole thing to me was beautiful. I loved it, you know.
Yeah. So if you weren't there, the way that we rearranged the seating for the sanctuary was that we had both sides of the room facing each other with the cross right in the middle, and surrounding the cross were the elements for communion. So throughout the whole service, you're sitting facing the cross, right? And it's pretty fitting for Good Friday.
I think so. You know, a good reminder of, you know, what this is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, I really enjoyed that.
How about for you, Julie?
Oh, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I like the, just like the focus and stuff. And then, like, sadly, I was chasing after Jacob, because he kind of was just like running around and like being loud. And, like, I got to hear, like, I got to hear a little bit of it. But I think it was pretty cool. I think most of the time my favorite part of, like, service, though, is, like, worship. And I love the songs and stuff like that. But, yeah.
Yeah, during the second worship set, I was, like, sitting there, and I'm worshiping, and I just hear, like, this beautiful voice behind me. I was like, who is that? And I looked back, and it's Julie. So yeah, I did say that in person. I did say that to her in the moment, right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I was, like, so confuzzled.
He was like, you should go on the worship team. She's like, I already signed up.
Yep, she already signed up. Good thing we had the ministry fair the week before.
Yeah, but I know. You still have to wait, though, to see.
Yeah, I think you'll get there. I think you'll get there.
I think so.
You're pretty musical, right? Because you play instruments,
yeah,
you sing, like.
Yeah. Oh, I don't like sing like technically, but I mean, like, I can. I'm capable. I mean, everybody's capable of it.
Yeah. So Good Friday was a good opportunity to hear Garrett speaking again too. Shout out to Garrett. Great job. Just taking us through the stations of the cross, Jesus's journey to the crucifixion. But then, you know, with every Good Friday, Sunday's coming, right? Friday is not the culmination of the whole thing. The culmination is Jesus's resurrection. The tomb is empty. So we had our Easter service on Sunday. How was that for you? Was it a little crazy?
Well, I was actually, because I was in the class, so they were like all hands on deck. So I was like in the class with the kids. So, you know, I got to volunteer and, you know, seeing some of the crafts and stuff, which I thought was really neat. Mm. You know, like they did a good job, and, you know, and the object of lesson and stuff like that. So it was really good. It just looked like the class next to us was like crazy. Like they were expecting us. Like Stephanie was like thinking about, like, we were gonna have a crazy class, and they all grew up and went next door. So it was nuts over there. Like,
yeah, I heard the Pride had like 24 kids, dude, and normally there's like 12 to 14, so it's like almost double the size.
Yeah, like that. And then they're like, those guys were handling it. They did a pretty good job. So yeah, so we had it pretty easy. So that was like, I don't know, it was a blessing for me. I was like, man, just to get to see, and, you know, so Yeah, that was pretty much my Easter Sunday. So
for like me, like when I was like, because I had to go to like the overflow room with my class. Like we were just like, you know, the I'm still learning the name. And I was like watching it, and then I see like that the little kids are gonna do like their little song or
the
whatever.
Singing?
Yeah. And then I see my little brother Richie. He's not doing nothing. He's standing there barely even trying. And then I see Jacob, and he has all the energy, but he's not listening. So it was like funny, but it was like, you know, Jacob loves stuff, and he's like so happy whenever he gets to like touch things. Mm-hmm. He was so happy just touching the guitar. I'm like, you're not supposed to be doing that, but you're so adorable. But then after that, like after like the worship and like everything, then I went to my class, and like it was a really short teaching. They're just like, oh, you know, like focus on this. But then like after that, like I got to with my the underclassmen, we're leading a First Friday. So I got to help plan for that. Because me, me and like a couple other kids.
Oh, you can use names if it's good.
Okay, yeah. Okay. No, I was like confused. So me, Spencer, and Troy are going to be like leading like the teaching, like the main part for First Friday. Yeah, I'm not used to this, but like I got to plan for that, and like that was like the most of the class. Mm.
All right, well, we're looking forward to hearing what you guys come up with for First Friday. I'm sure my kids will be telling us about what you guys are leading in.
Dylan's your kid, right?
Yep, Dylan and Karis.
Oh, and Karis. Dylan's a freshman, so he's in that part. He's doing the small group questions, I think.
All right, well. Maybe he will let me know what kind of questions you guys are going to be asking.
I know, man. I'm excited.
Well, you're not going to be there.
That's okay.
That's okay. He's got you as a spy. He'd be like, hey, you're Julie, what'd you guys talk about?
Oh, should I just record myself, guys?
I mean, we can. If you're doing it at the Kingdom Center, we got the equipment to record everything.
Man.
No, Julie's first time on stage.
Yeah, because it's going to be Troy's going to go first, and I'm going to go second. And then after Spencer's done talking, I'm going to go back and, like, finish it and, like, the conclusion. And then the small group people are going to come up.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds like it'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be neat.
All right. Well, you know, Easter story is all about Jesus and his resurrection and the new life that we can have because of his death and resurrection. And so it's totally interesting, some of the timing of everything. So kind of this episode kind of got birthed, I guess, at the ministry fair. You know, I was sitting at my table not thinking that people are going to come up and want to come on the podcast because, you know, there's quite a few people that I've approached that have said, you know, no, I don't want to come on. I don't want to come on. I know Richard is always good to come on. So I'm just joking around with Richard and we're talking about, you know, sometime in the future, it'd be cool to have Richard and Julie come on. And they're like, yeah, let's come on. Julie has spring break in a couple of weeks, which because the ministry fair was 2 weeks ago. We can come on during that time. And I was like, okay, what are we going to talk about? And so Julie kind of made a joke. But and we'll get to where that was going. But
I'm hilarious, guys.
She is a fun person. The little bit of time that I've gotten to spend with her, she is a fun person, just like her dad. Fun people. But so we were talking about it, and it's just like I said, the timing of this whole thing was interesting. It was just because it was spring break. That's the reason that they were going to come in, and we had talked about the topic that we're going to talk about. It wasn't really on my radar that this is the week after Easter. I mean, I kind of knew, but it wasn't like I was putting two and two together. But as I was prepping, knowing what we're going to be talking about, I was like, oh, I feel like the timing is just right. You know, coming off of Easter, our Easter story is really about death to life, right? It's about the death of our old self and the new life that we can have in Christ, which was represented by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection to new life, right? And so we get to experience that because we were included in him in those things. And so it's interesting because Richard actually had a death to life experience, and that's part of what led him to Catalyst. So felt like it's interesting the timing of all of this, because it's really a part of the story. So we want to use this as a time where he could share a little bit of his story and Julie could share her perspective too on the story. We don't want to use this as a way to, you know, bash anybody. We don't want to use this as a way to throw anyone under the bus, but this is a part of their story and a part of actually why they're at Catalyst. And so really we want the focus of the story to be kind of just a little bit of what happened, but then the new life that they've been experiencing and what the Lord has had for them in this new season coming out of this experience. So I guess that's where I'll kick it off to you, Richard. Would you like to go first and share a little bit about your experience and kind of how that led you to Catalyst? And Julie, if you want to jump in and at any time, like, the floor is both of yours. I'll be quiet now.
Sounds good. All right, so where to begin?
Well, why don't we just say it was your birthday? We'll start on your birthday.
Yeah, so August 31st.
How old were you turning?
That's not important.
No, it is very important. How old are you turning?
I think, what, 44?
Oh, you're old.
Yeah, so.
See, Julie is funny. I can't throw him under the bus because I'm almost there too. So the only person that could say that is her.
Yeah, for real, man.
I'm still young, gang.
I don't even know what to say to that. So, well, because previously before my last couple of visits, I always kind of would throw something in there as far as why we came to Catalyst, why we decided to make such a big change. Because we were really big on, being in God's house. Mm-hmm. You know, that's for us. At least at that time, it was like, it meant everything. Not that that has changed, but I think my perspective has changed a lot in a lot of areas.
I do think it's cool that, you know, when you're talking to your kids about where we're at now, you're like, we're at the Jesus house now. We're at the Jesus house.
Oh, my goodness. It's funny because, like, everywhere we go, because it was like, you know, we used to meet at a park. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd break, set up and break down. Like, you know, we talked about that before. So, my son Richard is like that. He's like, are we going to the Jesus park? You know? And I'm like, no, we're going to go to the Jesus house. And he's like, let's go to the Jesus house. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's cool. That's super cool to me.
Because it's like, you know, to him, it's a personal experience for him. Mm-hmm. Like he's even changing in his class, you know, and I get to kind of see that, you know, that he lets on more than he lets us know. Mm-hmm. That he's learning more than we think he's knowing, you know, so which is kind of cool. So anyway, so like we were kind of just big on that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, of course, you know, we used to go 3 times a week. So we were at church 3 times a week. We'd get there early. We would leave late. You know, we were like that all the time, you know. And the thing about it is, like, you know, we were part of leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, we were part of, you know, the core. You know, we did a lot of the, you know, like if there was a ministry meeting or things that, you know, we were involved, like we were there, you know. And the interesting part is that I was part of the security team or the ushers. Mm-hmm. You know, we were part of serving the body. We were part of, you know, protecting the people. We were part of, you know, doing a lot of those things. So, and I just think it's interesting because there is like the hard part is like there's no way to skate around this because when you're involved with something, you kind of don't expect to be hurt at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, you're vulnerable to it. You're serving with all your heart, at least you think you are. You know, your family is absorbing that sacrifice as much as you are. Mm-hmm. You know, they sacrifice as much as I did. You know,
I know that when my dad was like doing like ushering and stuff like that. Like anytime like something small happened, I'd be like scared because, you know, my dad is a position, you know, or was in a position where he could get hurt, mm-hmm. obviously. So like all of the times, like something where like, even if it didn't happen, like it was like, I would like be scared. Mm-hmm. And then two, it took up a lot of our time. And then mm-hmm. two, sometimes like, you know, I felt like that's all he cares about. So I know that was like a big issue too, because it felt like at the time he was putting church over us.
And I understand that take too, because mm-hmm. it's, there has to be a balance mm-hmm. in everything, you know? And the, one of the things that I learned was your family has to be in order. Your family has to be taken care of and a good foundation, you know, when you start to serve, mm-hmm. you know. But I think what happens is if you don't maintain those things, they begin to fall apart, mm-hmm. you know, even in ministry, you know, and the enemy's going to come in different ways and he's going to try to disrupt those things so that, you know, he can, you know, get you off track or get you offside, you know. So, I think in a lot of areas during that season, like, I believe I wasn't growing anymore, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, and then that comes in, like, when the last podcast we talked about, I don't know if it was the last one, but we talked about, you know, serving exhaustion and, mm-hmm. you know, being burned out and stuff like that, and you're not receiving anymore, mm-hmm. you know, you're just trying to, you know, maintain the symptoms, you know, you're not getting to the heart of the issue, you're not, you know, you're not reaching the Father's heart. You're not, you know, you're not dealing with these things. So, you know, and then just in ministry alone, like for us during that time, like there was just a lot going on. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot going on. So saying all that to say this. So one weekend, it was my birthday, you know, and my wife didn't go. She didn't go to service. The boys didn't go. They ended up staying home. Mm-hmm. Jonah wasn't feeling too well at the time, so they ended up staying home, and then Julie got dressed, and we went to, you know, we went to service, you know, went to church, and, you know, same routine, you know, hey, we were over there setting up and doing our things and setting up the canopy, setting up the mic, setting up all the stuff and setting up, well, you know, gajillion chairs, you know, doing the whole setup. And I told Julie, I was like, man, since it's my birthday, I was like, after church, like, we'll take off and we'll go get some ice cream. Hmm. You know, I was like, man, that sounds like a good thing. Like, we could just go hang out.
Yeah.
You know, me and Julie go hang out. And she's like, all right, Dad. She was like, that's a good, like, you know, that's a good idea, you know. So Julie, with her big old heart, you know, she's decides to go because we used to serve, like, food to the homeless and stuff like that, even on Sundays, because they would all attend church service at the park, so... You know, we always had a good crowd come in, and, you know, after, like, we would, at that time, we were, they were having some food after, too, so they were having refreshments after, too, because I believe, like, they were doing something for the pastor's wife at the time. Mm. So, like, they were celebrating her birthday. That was, like, the following day on a Monday. Mm. So they were kind of just celebrating her birthday too at the same time. So which was great, you know. So Julie decided to go over there, get in line, and she was just, you know, handing out food, and she was just having a great time. And I could just see her, like, she's just having a great time. And so I was just over there talking to Jason, my nephew, and like, we're kind of just talking face to face, you know, and we're there, and, you know, Julie's finally done, and, you know, I'm eating some food. So I was just like, we're standing there talking. Julie comes and she's standing next to me. And actually, she's standing in front of me, standing next to Jason. So, and we're just talking, you know, we're just talking. And I hear voices behind me, you know, and they're like, you know, they're just like, no. And, you know, and come to find out, like, you know, I'm stabbed 5 times in the back. And the guy whispered, "There you have it." And I hit the ground, boom. And next thing I know, like, I'm just like, my brother's there. And he's just like sits still and it hurts to breathe. I can't breathe and it hurts to move. And he's there and he's like, Rich, don't move. Just sit still. And as he's saying that, my whole body just calms down. And it's interesting because like I really felt in my heart that somebody was there, not just my brother physically, but I felt that somebody was there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And it didn't hurt to breathe anymore. Mm-hmm. And I hear just chaos everywhere. It's just chaos. And my brother's like there and he's just, you know, he's holding me together. And next thing I know, like the ambulance is there, you know, mm-hmm. And there was a couple of other guys that got hurt too. It wasn't just me. And these guys tried to help me. They got hurt also. So it wasn't just a singular event, you mm-hmm. know, but mm-hmm. A very hard place. You know, because a lot of people got hurt, whether it was a traumatic event, families were just didn't know what to do. If you want to speak about church hurt,
yeah,
this is the place where it's at its worst.
I know that, like, my dad said he got stabbed, and then all he heard was chaos. I saw him right in front of me. And I couldn't cry. I don't know why. I just felt like I couldn't cry. I was just angry. Like, and I didn't even know who did it. I just, like, next thing I know, my dad's on the floor. And, like, the dude's, like, over there in, like, the corner. I don't know. And then I'm grabbed. And I'm screaming and I'm kicking. And all the women, like, of the church is, like, grab me. Because, you know, it was my dad mm-hmm. right in front of me. And he's on the floor. I'm on the floor, like, a few feet away from him because they grabbed me and, like, pulled me back. And I was kicking. I was screaming because I was like, that's my dad. Mm-hmm. And I know that for me, like, seeing that happen is just, like, it's traumatizing. You know, I thought he was going to die. And, like, I know I was sort of angry at my mom, too, because she didn't want to spend time with him on his birthday. And then, like, not only for this to happen, and, like, you know, I was just, like, I don't know, just, like, a lot of anger mm-hmm. and just, like, stuff, like, just in that moment, those few seconds, I just saw my dad, like, stabbed. Like, we were supposed to go get ice cream. We were literally about to leave, and I just see that happen. And, you know, then after a little while, there's, like, just kicking and, like, screaming from everyone else. I calmed down. And then, like, I know that there's, like, a whole bunch of people. They're all going crazy. And I'm, like, I was, like, why the heck are all these people going crazy? I'm calmed down. Like, it didn't happen to them, you know. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I was, like, some people just don't know how to respond to certain things. Like, mm-hmm. sure, at first I was, like, okay. But then, like, a minute or two later, I was just, like, you know, I was just, like, calmed down, just trying to, you know, breathe. I was obviously crying by then, but I calmed down, just trying to get everyone else to calm down. And then, like, the ambulance came. And, like, I was supposed to go with the ambulance with him. They told me I could because I was a daughter. Mm-hmm. But then they ended up saying, the people ended up telling me no. And then my uncle was supposed to go. But then my uncle didn't end up going in the car with him. And I was like, why would you leave him? I was, like, mad. I was like, why did you leave him alone? Why did you leave him alone? He wasn't supposed to be left alone. And, you know, I was just, like, upset. Because mm-hmm. I didn't want my dad to be alone, mm-hmm. especially being like that. But there was nothing I could do about it. The ambulance had already left. And then my aunt was supposed to take me to go to the hospital, or to go home and then go to hospital. But then, like, they ended up taking a little bit longer, and I wanted to hurry up and go. But we couldn't because there was, like, a cop car blocking us. Mm-hmm. And, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about, like, you weren't the only one that was hurt. It's like there's the physical pain that you were going through and some of the other people, but, like, there's the emotional, all the, like, that's pain too. That's hurt too. That's, it's that the one event doesn't just lead to physical pain, but there's just so much in addition to that too.
I believe one of the biggest hurts that comes from that is the broken trust because of where it came from. And I think like that's a deeper hurt because God talks about the issues of the heart, right? David was really good about that because he, like when he went to the Lord, he would always talk about what was going on in his heart. Like I was reading this morning about, you know, David was talking about how he felt that when he was going through troubles, like he felt in his heart that there was no man that cared for him. Those are his exact words. I wish I would remember the psalm. It was Psalm 40 something. But he talked about that. And he says, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me. You know, so I think in my heart, like I think for some of the families that went through this whole event, I think that there was a trust that was deeply broken, you know, and it doesn't make an excuse for things because we're human. Every person is a human and we're going to make mistakes. We're going to go through things. We're going to make bad decisions. Things are going to happen. And that's why God is so gracious with us, because God knows our frailty. God knows where our heart can lead. He knows that we're weak, you know, and I think that's why like being a sheep is so important because he loves us at that capacity, you know? So, you know, having that trust broken in a place where, yeah, you're serving, you're living life for God. You know, you believe you're doing everything in a place where you gave your all. You know, you're giving everything, you know, probably even much that you probably don't even have anymore. You know, you're burnt out, you're tired. You know, that was the season that we were in. And we've talked about this before. So it was like my family spent. I was spent. You know, my brother was spent. You know, like we, you know, we love God and we love God with all our hearts, you know. So I believe in my heart, though, like when you talked about that, as far as like, you know, coming from death to life and that experience in that capacity, I believe in my heart, though, like. At the time, you don't see it that way.
No, you know? For sure.
That's, you don't see it that event. Way. It's like your hindsight now, but like you look at it and you're just like, I'm like, man, I can't believe like I'm sitting here in the bed like this. Like, you know, you look at that, you know, and you're just like, okay, God, what's next? You know, and sitting there, I was in there for about 5 days, Julie? I was in the hospital for like 5 days or something like that.
I think it was like longer. It was like way longer. It was like 2 weeks, I think.
No, I don't think it was that
it
long.
It was.
No, it wasn't that
it
long.
It was. You know why? Because I remember I went to band camp, like, or not band camp. I went to the after school practices, like,
I think it was like times. 5 to 7 days or something like that. It wasn't like 2 weeks, but it was like five. I think it was like 7 days, I think.
Okay, well, it was a while.
Anyway. I don't know, but. After we got out, I was about a week at the house and I was still healing up, you know, because they stapled me up and all that great stuff.
He had fluid in his lungs.
So, okay, some details were left out. Okay, so anyway, what it was I had a broken rib. I had a punctured lung. 5 holes in my back, you know what I mean? So they stapled me up. Had a collapsed lung, so it wasn't working, you know, so they stuck a tube in there, you know, and they were trying to get it to, you know, inflate. They were trying to get it to do its thing, like, you know, and it was taking a while. That's why they had me in there for the time that I was there, because they were concerned about it. And I didn't even realize it, though, but like it was hard to breathe on my own, you know. And I didn't realize that until they, like, actually just took the tubes out of my face, you know. And I was, like, they're, like, trying to get me to, you know, breathe on my own and stuff. And, you know, it was a different experience, man. Like, I, of course, never been through anything like that before, you know. I think one other time I'd been in the hospital, like, when I first got diagnosed with diabetes. So I was like, you know, I was in there for 5 days too at the time. And man, I was messed up at that time because, you know, you're learning about yourself being sick for the first time. So it's like, you know, you're there for a while and you have to, you know, learn how to live again, but a different lifestyle. So, you know, for the second time in my life, being in the hospital like that was really hard. So, you know, coming out of there and, you know, like I didn't really question God at any point. Like my theology wasn't messed up. Like I didn't, you know, go, God, like I hate you because I got hurt. Like it wasn't that type of experience. It was just, okay, God, like, you know, what do we do now? You're going to have to take me where you need me to go because I don't know what to do. That was my question to God, was like, well, what's next? Where do we go? Where do I take my family? Like, you know, and we talked about it while we were in the hospital. Like, we need to make a change. We need to make a change because in the long run, this is going to be a place where, like, we're not going to be able to go back, you know.
And just associating that place with all the pain and all that stuff, that's so hard to do, right?
And so Yeah. And part of those things, too, that was, you know, just the relationships alone were severed. You know, so, you know, I believe Julie wanted to.
Yeah. So for like seeing my dad in the hospital like that, like I already knew he had diabetes. Like I never seen him so frail, so weak. So, you know, like it was new for me. You don't see the person who's like the strongest person in your life just like that in like 2 seconds. Like you're just like it's different. You see them. You know, and I just see him, like, weak, and I'm just like, where did he go? Like, what happened so bad? Like, how does that change the strongest person I know? You're supposed to be dad. You're supposed to be this, which obviously I know that, like, he's human, obviously. He's not Superman. But still, like, it's hard for me as, a girl to just, like, see my dad struggling like that. Like, I never seen him in that sort of way. And it just, like, it hurt knowing, you know, that, especially, too, because I, like, opened my eyes that, like, yeah, one day he could be gone, you know. And I still remember when we were sitting outside the hospital, I was, like, crying. I was, like, he's gone. He's probably dead. He's gone. And, you know, I was heartbroken, too, because those people from the church were supposed to be my family. They were supposed to... You know, they were supposed to be the ones who never hurt us. But my dad literally got stabbed in the back.
Well, so Julie, for you, I mean, your dad said that for him, he didn't, like, question God or he wasn't upset with God. How was that experience with you and God? Did you feel like, how was that for you?
I was angry. I was like, how?
Totally understandable.
I was like, how could you let that happen to my dad? My dad. I was like, he's done everything right for you. He's given himself to you. How are you gonna let this happen? I was just like, why did you do this? You know? Like, he's done nothing wrong. He's human and he makes mistakes. But he's one of your most faithful servants. Why did you do this? So I was mad. But it wasn't like I didn't, like, stop believing in him. I was just mad at him, you know, because I knew he was real and I know that he does save. But I was like, dude, how are you going to let this happen? I was just angry. And, you know, I tried to ignore it, like, ignore the fact that it happened. And, like, I just tried to go on and live my normal as best as it could. I would spend as much time as I could in the hospital, though, with my dad. But, you know, I would just do whatever, try to keep my mind off of it. I would be going to marching band after school, going to school, just doing everything that I could to just forget about it. But, yeah. I knew that I could never see those people again. I had a lot of anger, for those people. they weren't bad people, obviously. You know, I spent many of my years growing up with them, but it definitely, you know, it definitely, like, hurt me, mm-hmm. you know. It was just, like, for me, I was like, why couldn't you deal with your own problems? Mm-hmm. And I was angry. I ended up, like, when it happened, I ended up saying some really mean things, which I really do regret saying, but I did say some really mean things.
I mean, that was a traumatic experience, so, I mean, it's totally understandable why you would be upset.
That's on another level, man. Like, you know, I would never try to take away from that, you know.
Also, like we said, you know, the focus of Easter is not the death part, but the focus is the resurrection part. And so, yeah, so now that we've had a chance to share a little bit about, like, the difficult part, now it's time to talk about, like, the new life part, right? And so kind of the last part that you had been talking about, Richard, was, like, you were asking the Lord, like, what's next? What's next for me? What's next for my family? What's next, right? And it's kind of crazy, the timeline, because, you know, that was end of August. It was, like, beginning, middle of September when you first started coming to Catalyst. So it wasn't even that long. I remember, I think it was either me or it was someone else was, like, trying to give you, like, a little hug. And you're like, oh, it's still sore. It's still tender. It's like, because, I mean, from the outside, it didn't look like anything was wrong, right? Because it was all covered up and everything. And yeah. So people didn't even know.
It's funny because, right? Pastor Barry did the same thing. He was like, hey, oh, sorry. Like, you know, and it was funny. It was funny.
So, you know, it like, when you were asking the Lord, like, what's next? It's not like you were like, okay, what's next? I'm gonna wait 5 years to figure out what's next. Like, no, like, what's next? Let's go. Like, and so you were already at Catalyst, and, you know, in a previous episode, you'd shared about your journey to checking out different places, and, you know, you ended up at Catalyst within a few weeks after this whole thing. And so, you know, can you share a little bit about your experience with the Lord, like this new life that you've had as you've come into this new church and experience, and some of the things maybe you've learned that were, you know, like you had mentioned before too, about, you know, when you were serving out of, like, the obligation, out of the duty, out of the exhaustion, and then just some of the different ways that the Lord has been kind of ministering to you, and even some of those areas as well.
I would encourage all the listeners to go back. If you hadn't heard some of the previous episodes that I had come on, we had talked about a couple of the areas that that God was kind of teaching me, showing me, giving me a new foundation. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, giving me, like, God was going to do just that. Mm-hmm. And he was going to pour buckets of not just a religious experience, but God was going to show me something that I had never seen before. Mm-hmm. And coming out of that experience, like, God was beginning to just pour his love on me, mm-hmm. and on my family and on my daughter, and just on this whole, like, God was like, look, I'm going to show you a new side. Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, Star Wars, man. He was going to show you, like, he was going to give you the Force, man. Like, you know, he was going to come and bring it, like, you know. And,
yeah, for me, especially, yeah, he's, mind you, his horrible humor. He's not funny. Yeah,
throw that in there, like.
Yeah, you better not be laughing, by the way. I'm not.
That's okay, I am. Dad humor, we get each other.
Yeah, like, high five.
You guys are old. So for me, I know that, like, first off, my dad said he was gonna start looking for another church, and I was like, oh great, it's gonna be the exact same. I was like, we're gonna be doing the same routine. It's always like, it's always this and this. But then, like, I remember he said he was looking. I had asked him, like, why the heck he was named Catalyst, and I thought it was a dispensary.
There is a dispensary named Catalyst, yes. That's not us. That's not us, but there is a dispensary.
But they're, like, the same colors, which is so bad.
I know. And I was like, oh, we're not. No.
No, we're searching for a different kind of high, right?
Yeah, man, for real. No, man. Definitely.
No, look, you guys just trick people into thinking that it's a dispensary, you know, and then you save them. Or you tell, you help them get saved. That came out wrong. But I know that, like, I was like, but then, like, as soon as, like, I started coming and, like, I saw the youth groups and I was like, what the heck? This is actually pretty cool. I was just like, I know that, like, my old youth wasn't really the best. You know, there was, first off, there's a very small amount of kids my age. And then not only that, too, I had been, like, bullied a lot by those kids. But after coming to Catalyst, I was, like, you know, I was greeted with, like, this kindness that I didn't really, you know, associate with church. Because when I mind you, I've been going to the old church one since I was, like, a little kid. And I had always just been, you know, that kid that everyone, you know, looked down on. And then, like, as we came here, you know, that hurt that I had associated with church, like, oh, these are the church kids. You know, I thought they're supposed to be nice, but they're not. Ended up healing that part, because I know that now there's, like, this, like, welcoming and just, like, this love for everyone at Catalyst. And it's just, like, when I went into the youth group for the first time, they handed me this paper, and it was, like, it was a speech, and it was, like, you are loved because you're loved because, you know, you're loved. It's, like, it's a really cool speech. I don't remember. I still have the paper, though. And I remember I ended up telling my dad and my uncle, because they came to our house, and I ended up telling them, you know, look at this paper, and I started reading it, and I read it at home, and I just started crying and crying, and I was just, like, dude. And then, like, you know, it was just, like, it's what I needed. 'Cause I know from my perspective, the church had hurt, my old church had hurt me for a little while.
It's awesome to hear that that's your experience of our youth ministry. I know that, you know, Jerry and Brett do a great job of trying to make that group feel like a family and can be able to connect in that way. But, you know, to hear that from someone as their first experience of that group, like, that's just really touching that was your first experience. And the way that the Lord used that to bring that healing that you said you were needing, that's really cool.
Yeah, like, starting to see change in her, and my wife, you know, the people that were hurt through this, you know, and when we came to Catalyst, we were literally, like, we were searching for a new beginning. And through the messages, through the people, like,
I actually like going to church now.
Dude, for real. Like, we love coming. And I want to give a shout out to Catalyst for the love that they've given to us. You know, like, we love our church. Like, you know, my wife loves coming. You know, we love coming. Like,
and one of these days we're going to get Joanna to come on the podcast too. I'm calling you out, Joanna. You're going to come on one day.
It was so funny because she used to, like, dread going to church. She would always, like, try and get out of it. But, like, now, like, when me and my dad had went to, like, and we were tired and we didn't end up going, she ended up going by herself, which was so weird because she, like, hated going to church. She would never go. Like, you could barely get her to go. And then after that, like, she wanted to go. I was like, well, who is this woman?
Like, God is just doing a lot, you know, like, God is doing a lot, you know, and, like, God began to just show us that they're, like, show us this life, you know. And I mind you, it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. You know, like, we're just, hey, we're, you know, we're on recovery mode, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God's like, you know, because that one, when we came to Catalyst, like, God was showing me, you know, like, God is showing me, okay, so the thing is, it's like, God's like, here, rest,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I'm going to give you everything you need. You know, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to give you this brand new foundation, and then he's going to start building on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to start building on top of it. You know, and he's been doing just that. And God is showing me what it's like to live in that new identity. Mm. You know, and to build some new relationships mm-hmm. on top of that. You know, so I believe that we're really enjoying this whole, like, this whole new life. You know, some areas it's like, it's different because, like, I almost feel like you get this, like, feeling, like, you feel like you're taking advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's not that. It's just that love that God's giving you, and it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of feel that way. You know, God's not mad at you because you didn't do this, or God's not mad at you because you know, mm-hmm. it's just great. You know, like, we have this new family, you know. Yes, I love those people. You know, I spent a lot of years of my life with them. You know, and I'm sorry that they got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm happy. You know, I'm like, I hope that they're happy too. I hope that they're growing. I hope that things are good for them. You know, and, you know, one of the questions I had for God was like, man, like, is God going to save my family? Mm. You know, and he did just that. You know, God's like, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. And no longer did I worry about it. God began to minister to my wife, began to minister to my daughter. God began to minister to the hearts that were broken. And put the pieces back together. You know? And I always believed that about God. That God was the one that was going to mend the broken heart. You know? And I think that God, you know, seeing that in other people and seeing that in my family, like, God was doing that to me. God was mending my broken heart. You know? And he's still doing it. You know, yeah, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but it's the experience with God that's going to, you're going to see God move in that, you know. And I think, like, that's just, you know, wonderful, because our lives in the hands of the potter. You know, is that video that, mm-hmm. you know, that he showed up there is like, that's exactly what that is. That's exactly what that is. You know, that our life. And I'm seeing that firsthand, you know. So
I know, like, being here. I went to my first ever youth retreat.
Oh, you want to share about youth retreat?
Oh,
we haven't had anybody share about youth retreat for this most recent one. So, yes, we'd love to hear. How was your experience at youth retreat?
I know that, like,
did you want to go, or did you?
No, I wanted to go.
Okay.
I literally brought it up to them, to my parents, and I was like, I want to go. Because I always wanted to go to one, but the thing is that when I was finally old enough to go to one, we kind of, like, at my old church, it's kind of, like, my parents kind of, like, just, like, stuff happened, and just, like, I didn't end up going. My mom ended up canceling it. But I wanted to go to this one, and my parents were like, okay. So I ended up going, and, you know, it was only like 3 days,
mm-hmm.
but, like, dude, when I got out of there, I felt like I was leaving rehab. Like, I felt like so weird. Like I was so tired, but like I was so happy. Like I felt like legit, like I like got off drugs or something. Like
I don't even know how to respond to
that. I was leaving in my pajamas. I was just like, bro, I felt like like I didn't know how to like how else to put it, but that's what it felt like. I was leaving rehab because like it's so much easier to see God like that, and like those places, like how you know it's easier. Like this is just my correlation.
Go
how
for
it's
it.
Easier to not like do drugs when there's no drugs around. So it's easier to not sin when there's like a lot less things to sin with. So I was just like, and then like, not only that, I was like tired because it was like fun. Mm-hmm. And then like, dude, all the boys ended up making like this, like they stayed up so like late at night making like a family chart of like how everyone would be. I was one of the youngest. But like I am the youngest person there. I am like down to month. Dylan's older than me. I did not know Dylan was older than me.
I didn't know Dylan was older than you either.
he's a little shorter than me.
This is not video recorded, so they can't see that you're saying Dylan's really short. But I just got to say it because he might listen to this. So, you know, Dylan, you are a little short, but.
He is though.
I got to get it in while I can because I think he's going to be taller than me eventually.
Eventually, perhaps, maybe. Possibly. But they ended up making like a chart. It was like funny. But I know that like a lot of healing was done for me because there were things that like they were able to share that, you know, that things that are like sometimes like you seclude yourself because you feel like you're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some things brought out and like it was just like, you know, I was able to release those things and like, you know, I'm not alone. I'm not ashamed. You know, cause I know that there, in some of the first Fridays, I know it was like Garrett, he was talking about like, he's like, God doesn't bring shame. He gets rid of shame. Cause there's like this thing that's like, people believe, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit's what's bring shame, but it's not. It's what tells you what's wrong, but it doesn't bring shame.
Mm-hmm. Brings conviction, but not shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crucial. That is crucial.
And I took that, like, I know for me, I thought it was, that's what shame was. Mm. But the thing is that shame, like, and those things, it keeps you secluded, alone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to let anybody know. You want to stay, you know, sure, you could be with people, but it makes you feel so just, like I said, alone, like you're lonely, like you don't have anybody. So it was like those things, like being in the youth retreat like that. And just like, it was really cool. And then too, I still remember one of the mornings when we were doing like quiet time. They took a pic, Mimi took a picture of me. I fell asleep during the quiet time. But the thing is, I had read the scripture and like I was like praying, but then I was laying down in the sun. And, like, I fell asleep. But, like, bro, Mimi took a picture of me asleep. And I look, like, so dumb because my arms are up here. My Bible's on my face. I'm like, I look like a dog. You know how dogs, like, lay down like that? Besides the fact that my legs were extended out, my arms look, like, stupid. But it was.
That was a great picture, by the way. Yeah. It was a great picture. I thought. Good picture, Mimi. Good picture.
You're just
good
making picture. Fun of me.
Take a shot. Shots fired. Shots fired.
Okay, so you have a big forehead.
All right. Keep going.
No, he's bullying me. I'm gonna tell C something. Say something, bro. No, it was very powerful being on my first like ever youth retreat. I loved it. It was pretty cool. And I hope to go to many more.
Well, you're still young. You got plenty of them coming up. So,
yay. Oh yeah.
There's going to be plenty of opportunities for that, I think.
Yeah, I'm not old. Like this one.
I thought it was a great introduction to, you know, coming to Catalyst and being able to just, you know, kind of, you know, dive in head first,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it, for us, it was like, she's like, I want to go. And I was like, okay, you know, it was something new for us. Yeah. We were kind of like, you know, taking careful steps. We're like, you mm-hmm. know, is it okay? You know? And again, it was one of those places where God was like, okay, go for it. You know, go for it, you know? And we were like, okay. You know, mom was like, go for it. And we were like, okay. You know, so, you know, we were like, everything's brand new. Like, everything is brand new. You know, so this new life that God was, like, beginning to give to us, you know. And I mind you, not only did God give us a new church, but God gave us a new, you know, God gave us a new apartment. You know, we left the old apartment and we came to a new place.
I hated that apartment. It was a one bedroom. There was rats. There was roaches. There was mold. I hated it. I had no room for nothing.
It was a bad place, man. It was a bad place.
It was a one bedroom apartment. I shared a bed with my little brothers. I was tired of it. I needed the new house. Like, I needed it so bad.
Like God blessed us so much. Like, you know, that's, and it's just like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
God's showing us how to, like, receive. And you don't have to feel guilty to receive good things. That's how good God is, you know, and if you're going through a hard season, like, God wants to give you good things, and it's okay to grab hold of those things that God wants to give to you. So, you know, if you're new at Catalyst, you know, like, you know, be open to the heart of God that God wants to usher into your heart, you know. Sorry, I'm a little emotional, but
It's okay. Men are able to cry too. It's okay.
No.
I know that, like, for my old church, being vulnerable was, like, kind of weird. They didn't really have a lot of moments where you could be like that. Like, you could come to, like, the pastors, but it was, like, it felt like they were judging you. Low-key, like, it felt like they were, like, sort of judging you. But not saying that they were, but it's, like, that's how it felt. But, like, here, dude, I've cried more times in church than I've ever did here. And I've only been here a little bit. I've been there, like, my whole life.
But good tears, right?
Yeah, good tears. Not like sad. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I've been able to share so much. Like, and like, I love share. I'm an oversharer. But it's like, I need to be able to share. So here, I'm really able to do that. And I love talking, clearly. I mean, I'm on a podcast. So all you do is talk. yeah, I really like it here, you know, Catalyst, because, like, I'm able to be myself,
mm-hmm.
you know. Just some nice air.
Well, we are definitely glad that you and your family are here. You know, you guys have been a big addition to our church, and just really appreciate you guys being able to share some of your story. Do you guys have any like closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners before we sign off? We're coming up on an hour right now, so
already?
Yep, time flies when you're having a good time, Julie. But just want to give you guys an opportunity to share last few thoughts. Julie will be back on sometime in the summertime with Mylene. So
Mylene, I'm gonna tell her to listen to this. You better get on here because I did it. So you have no reason not to. And also, you already signed up, so you kind of have to.
Yes, Mylene, you told me that you're going to come on, so we're going to hold you to it. So I'm not going to forget. Julie's not going to forget.
I'm going to hold you accountable as a brother holds his own brother accountable or something like that. I forgot. I used to know it by heart. Wait, what's that one scripture? It's like, I don't know. It's like a brother will hold another brother accountable or something like that. I don't remember.
That's some homework for you.
Yeah. But I will hold her accountable. No, be vulnerable. Mm. It's like, in order to, you know, receive healing, you have to, you know, give of it. You know, you have to like,
You have to be willing to open up those places that are hurting, right?
Yeah.
In order to be healed, right? If you always got the Band-Aid on,
it's not going to dry out.
Yeah.
It's going to stay mushy and icky and moldy and disgusting.
I think it's cool to hear that from you because, you know, Julie, because, you know, you did go through some difficult things and, you know, you're not speaking about that from a theory place. You're speaking about that from a place of experience. And so, yeah, I just appreciate that because, you know, I do think that that's an area that a lot of people don't like to go to those places. It's very difficult to go to those places. But yeah, when we don't go to those places, they stay hurting.
Yeah, I have a lot of dark stories. What was I going to say? It's like, I know that I've been able to share a lot too. So it's just like being able to share means a lot. Especially too, being vulnerable means that if you be vulnerable, other people can be vulnerable too. That's just like, I don't know. That's just something to think about.
Shout out to Magnetic and Forge for being a place that, you know, our youth can be vulnerable, receive the healing that they need, and really experience the Lord. And all right, Richard, how about for you?
I think it's a dual place for us too. For those hearts that are really unsure in some areas, when you come to God's house, like, I think sometimes like we second guess, like, or we don't give God enough credit in those areas sometimes, because we're like, we come to God's house and we have this pre-notion of how God's going to move or God's going to do certain things. You know, those healing services are important because God just doesn't do a physical healing, but he's going to heal that heart that needs to be, you know, that needs to be healed in a place where we can't see. God's always going to touch the places that only he can see, only he can touch. And I think that's the greatest impact in our life that God is having. And I still feel in my heart that God is just turning that ground over, So my greatest takeaway is there's so much that God wants to do and that is doing and that he's doing behind the scenes. So, you know, I'm still so intrigued in what God is doing in our life and in our heart. So for those that are coming or that don't see, you know, like, you know, open up your heart to a place where God wants to touch you, you know, so keep an open heart to its fullest extent. You know, I usually will have like a purpose in what to say, but in this place, this is in its true form, being vulnerable is open up your heart to God. When you come to service, look for that, what God wants to do. Keep an open heart. I think like that's just what God wants me to say to people is open up your heart to the Lord. When you come into service, be open to what he wants to do for you.
Yeah, and it's cool that you and your family have modeled that. You guys have been open to what the Lord wants to do in you, and even in the midst of this difficult situation, you were open to a new church, to a new family, to a new place. And when you're open, the Lord said, here, you're open. I'm going to give you more, right? And that's the Easter story, right? It's like in the midst of the time that I'm sure the disciples and a lot of the people around are looking around saying, what is going on? Like, this is the darkest day. Jesus is on the cross. And the Lord is saying, just wait and see. Just wait and see. There's a new life that everyone can experience because of what he's doing in this moment, right? Yeah. And that's what the Easter story is this new life. And so, you know, thank you for sharing this story for both of you guys to be open and sharing about that experience. But really, the highlight should be the new life that you guys are experiencing, you know, that the Lord has been giving you, the Lord has been bringing, the healing that the Lord has been bringing, you know, and it's all goes back to the cross and what he did on the cross and then what he did when he was raised, right? And it's the new life that he brings. And really, that's the Easter story. It's all about new life. And so it's been really a privilege to be able to talk about this new life with you guys. And yeah, thank you for coming on. Just appreciate you guys.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I don't really know how to do this. I'm not the best at this.
That's okay. We're gonna have you on again in the future, so you're gonna have practice.
I mean,
just takes practice. Everything takes practice.
I've had practice before. I actually in middle school, I had spoken in front of like all of the like younger middle schoolers, and like I'd spoken over 300 kids.
So you want me to tell you something funny? So in school, I took a class that was called Media in Ministry. And like part of the project was we had to do like make our own podcast. So I did one and my teacher was like, I was excited for your podcast. And then I listened to it and you're so boring.
Don't be boring, bruh.
I was like, gee, thanks. And then now I'm hosting a podcast. Like,
dude, what?
See, so practice does
the
help.
Voice.
The voice. Practice definitely helps because, yeah, my teacher literally said, you're so boring. I don't want to listen to you anymore.
That's sad. That is. No, I did. I had to. It was because I was an eighth grader and I had did a whole bunch of speeches just for the younger group of kids, and like they would just give us some questions and we just like free response. Bro, I messed up on one of them. It was like right in the middle because like the first few I had done so good on because like there was different groups, and then like after that I messed up and then I had to do it again, and I was like, dude, I do not want to mess up. It was so funny because I like had a brain fart and just like completely forgot what to say.
Well, if you really messed up, I wouldn't be inviting you back, but we're inviting you back, so that means you didn't mess up.
Yay.
All right, and Richard, always enjoy having you on. Thanks for coming again.
Thanks for having us, man. It's such a blessing to be here. And, you know, Damon, like, you've, like, have given us more than you think you have. You know, so, brother, I love you more than you know. So, you know, thanks for all that you do behind the scenes in your heart to us. You know, so thanks for everything, man. You know, I know it's like, fam, bro, fam, that's it.
It's my pleasure, man. It's my pleasure.
Like, you know, and it's like, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, something that we're blessed, man. We're blessed, man. We're blessed, man. And where God has us and where God's beginning to lead us into that place. So, you know, Yeah. So, you know, new hearts, new beginnings, you know. So, you know, just want to encourage those, you know. It's just, if you don't know where God has you in that place, you know, it's okay to not know. And I think that's the theme of my life. It's okay to not know. And I think, like, that's a good place to be. It's okay. It's okay. Abraham knew in his life, like, the pinnacle of not knowing where to go. It's like, man, like, God's going to lead you in that place. So
they can't see your hands, Dad.
No, but, you know, it's great. It's great. It's great. It's
still,
great.
Still talking to his hands.
So, all right. Well, thanks again for coming on. And thanks to all of our listeners out there. We just feel so blessed that you are willing to spend an hour and 15 minutes with us, listening to our stories and listening to us talk about God. And because God is good. And that's what the Easter story is about. The goodness of God, that he doesn't want to leave us in our despair, doesn't want to leave us with our old selves, but he wants to bring us new life. And that's what Easter's all about. So thanks again. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.